to do. So let's start here with me and you. Gonna take a little time. Let's see what we can find. Oh, come on, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for joining us here on the program. I'm going to set aside our normal introduction and tell you that today's program is going to be focusing on probably one of the most important, as well as frustrating and controversial subjects that one could ever talk about. And there are three subjects that most people will not talk about at the dinner table. One of them is religion, the other one is sex, and usually the third is politics, but for our discussion today, we might be talking about a little bit about the politics of money, how to manifest money effortlessly. We're going to be talking with the author of that title, Techniques to Be More Prosperous, and Dr. Bruno Signacco is my guest, and we are touching base all the way from the UK, and I want to thank you, Doctor, for joining us on the program.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
This subject, for especially those of us here in the United States, is extremely difficult to get a handle on, because I'm wondering if this has more to do with the programming that we've received in the West as far as money is concerned and the acquisition thereof and what its purpose is for. I have a feeling that we have been either intentionally or unintentionally led down a primrose path. But I want to talk a little bit about it from especially your perspective, because this isn't just some economist or economics professor who's gone to school. You've actually studied this from the metaphysical standpoint.
Exactly, exactly. I am teaching economics at university, but also I studied for many years metaphysics. And what I discovered that most people in the world, they have a scarcity mindset. So this means that you're right. We have been programmed by social conditioning, and we have a lot of negative connotations about money. For example, money is the root of all evil, or for example, it takes time to make money, or for example, it takes a lot of effort to make money. Or for example, time is money, that is very common in America. And so there are connotations that are negative because they are related to scarcity, to lack. They are not related to a prosperity mindset. For this reason, most people struggle when trying to earn their livings, and they're trying to get much more money. It gets very difficult for them because of this scarcity mindset.
Oh, there's an interesting, I mean, so many things are flooding into my mind as you're sharing this. One of them is when I think about those who have, and we hear the terms the haves and the have-nots, or the latest vernacular is the 99% versus the 1%ers. And it's the 1% that seem to have and or control 99% of the wealth and income in this country or in the world. And it's the 1% who have next to nothing, or the 99%, I beg your pardon, who have maybe 1% of, what's out there. But one of the metaphors, speaking of metaphysics, one of the metaphors that I have learned over the years, and you do use this concept in your book and in your work, is that of water. And that anytime, wherever I'm living, anytime there is a disruption in the flow. Now, when I say that, I'm not just talking about the water, the flow that's coming into the house. I'm also talking about the water that flows out through the drains and whatever other systems there are. When either of those processes in my home are affected, somehow in some way, my monetary or financial world is also affected in a similar way. Is indeed that a fair analogy to use when it comes to our current and or present condition as individuals, let alone as countries or businesses and what have you? But is that a good analogy to use?
It's a good analysis. I agree on this. And of course, you can analyze this metaphor from different aspects, but I will say that water, like money, both are energy. So energy that can be used in different ways. For example, in the case of money, could be used in a negative way. For example, exploitation or human traffic, or for example, weaponry, negative aspect, and also can be used for positive aspect. The same as water. Water can be beneficial for people because it's a substance necessary for living. But if you consider a flood, for example, it's a negative aspect of water, can affect people negatively. So In this case, you're right. And in my book, I comment about water, because water, from the feng shui is an oriental discipline that is very well known. When feng shui says that when the water, you have some problems with the water pipes inside the house, your financial problem began to increase, because it's a living substance. I like your analogy, because money, as a water, is energy. It's a substance that can be multiplied, that can be used both in a positive way or in a negative way, and also can be, with money, you can be harnessing your innermost resources, or you can, if you have a scarcity mindset, you can be struggling to get much more money in your life. So I like the analogy of water, because also what I comment in the book, that we should be, our attitude towards money should be like water. Water, if you see the characteristic of water, water is flexible, by intrinsically flexible. When the water goes down from the top of the mountain until the bottom of it, you see that the water surround the rocks, it goes down, it doesn't get hindered on the way. Mm-hmm. Well, many people, because have a lot of negative beliefs about money, hinder their own path to prosperity. So they're not as flexible as they should be, as in the case of water. So I like the analogy, because this can be applied to different examples about prosperity.
Mm. I can tell you that over the years, in my dealings with so many different people of different belief systems, that it has been really interesting, especially when trying to define terms. And so what I'd like to do here is let's do a little defining of some terms here. First of all, from your perspective, from your research, your education, and obviously from this book that we are talking about today, How to Manifest Money Effortlessly, what is money?
What is money? Well, it's very simple. Money is not the final destination. It's a means to fulfill your dreams, and it's energy. Money is intrinsically energy, as anything else in the universe. We can say that it's energy, and as energy, we can say that it's attracted by similar energy. When you have positive thoughts, you are more likely to attract prosperity. When you have negative thoughts, you are most likely to repel prosperity. So it's energy. Intrinsically, it's energy, and it's malleable energy. It means that can be harnessed with your thoughts. But also, it's abundant matter. Money is abundant matter, because many people believe that we live in a world of scarcity. But in practice, we can see at all times, even though we have a lot of negative news in the media, that there are a lot of money flows that go over the world. So there is abundance of money. And you can say, but what happened with unemployment? What happened with other aspects like poverty? these are negative situations in the world, but underneath all this appearance, we can say that money is abundant. And money is, you don't need anything else to create, to attract, to manifest money, only yourselves. You only need yourself, your thoughts and your emotion. So this is a very important point. So it's malleable energy, abundant matter, and also is provision from the universe. Money is provision from the universe, unlimitedly. Means that you will never have a limit. The only limit that you have are the ones set by yourself. So, and very important, with money, you can fulfill your dreams. You can fulfill your dreams. Some people take money as a destination instead of using money as a means to achieve their objectives. And also, money has a loving aspect, means that money can be used for very interesting and very important causes like charity, tithing, or for example, scientific discoveries. Has, of course, money has a loving aspect. And also, I will say that money, from the metaphysical viewpoint, also should be considered as your friend. Some mm-hmm. people are struggling to get some money. And they, in this way, they are pushing prosperity away because they consider money as an enemy, as an opponent, that they have to fight to get money. They have to work hard to get money. And it's the opposite. Money should be something that should be coming to your life in an effortless manner, using the techniques, the appropriate techniques to do so. I will say also that money is the result of your thoughts. Money, the money that you have in your life is the result of your thoughts. So it's a literal manifestation of your thoughts, your internal world. I will say this is a very important point. From the economic viewpoint, but this also can be used for from a metaphysical perspective, money is what you, the result of adding value to others. Means when you contribute to society in different ways, because of following your mission or doing your job, you will be rewarded for this. And this is can be a definition of money. And also, money is very related to your intention. It's a consequence of your intention. Means that when you have a positive intention, the undoubted result of this positive intention will be prosperity, money, and all the things related to this. Mm. I'm not sure. And also, I can relate also money is related to playfulness, joy, fun, positive emotions. When you're talking about money, and from the abundance perspective, should be considered as a matter or energy related to positive emotion, like playfulness, joy, peacefulness, and other similar ones.
Well, I know that a lot of us are very concerned about all these different aspects of what money is and, of course, what we've sort of created in our own minds to be. Years ago, when I was working for another station back in Phoenix, Arizona, where I was born and raised, one of the things that I could have gone one of two ways emotionally, I suppose, is the way to put it. When it came to money, when it came to the salary or the hourly rate that I was earning, I had a lot of coworkers who every time paychecks would come in, they'd complain. Even between paychecks, they would complain and talk about, you know, what they didn't have and how management wasn't treating them fairly. And they hadn't had a raise in X number of years. And I'm not ashamed to say that when I first started working for this particular station, I was making at that time in 1981 minimum wage in the state of Arizona in the U.S. And 15 years later, when I left, I was making $7.35 an hour. 15 years later, my salary, my hourly rate had doubled. But one of the things that I began to look at that changed, and I'm not a wealthy person. I'm, you know, I'm like everybody else right now. I'm living from paycheck to paycheck, from to ostensibly, a little bit better than that, but not by much. So I'm kind of in the same boat with everybody else, and I would love to be able to have a few extra zeros in the old bank account just to have some breathing room, just to say, relax a little bit. And if something happens, I don't have to really concern myself with whether I have the wherewithal. I know that it's there. But one of the things that happened early on was I could have gone the route of the complainers and saying, yeah, management's this and they don't pay me enough and I have to do all of these extra tasks and blah, 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 blah. But I was also doing interviews like this. And when I would receive, such as I have received, a copy of your book, the book How to Manifest Money Effortlessly, or CDs of the music of the artists that I was interviewing, or whatever other materials, the perspective I began to take was that I'm not going to receive either just compensation or the energetic exchange from the source I think it's going to come from. Now, I may be working for station XYZ, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to be compensated exclusively by that station for all of the things that I do and all of the relationships that I had and created back then. Again, all of the material things, the books, the CDs, et cetera, let alone the interviews like this one. To me, this is a gift to me. I get to open it up and I get to see what Bruno's life is like and what his world is like when it comes to money. So to me, that's also sort of payment or exchange. And my understanding too, Bruno, is that as far as one of the laws of the universe, there is always an exchange. You can't escape it. It's not something that you manifest in that conscious way. It's when you put it out there, it's going to come back to you. You can't fight that law. Is that correct?
It's correct. It's correct. I completely agree on this. So, moreover, I will say that I have one of the chapters is about generosity. Mm-hmm. This is completely according to your view. In that chapter, I comment that many people believe that they have to receive money only. So this is the only way that they can get prosperous. But as you said, you are, with your interviews and all your contribution to the world, you are giving a lot. So you're creating the exchange on the first time you are creating the exchange because you are allowing people to give their opinion on this. So you're being generous in this way. And as a consequence of this, there is an exchange. So the universe is responding back. So you get a lot of knowledge, lot of opportunities, a lot of contacts. Many people believe that they only have to obtain or receive money. But I believe the idea of the exchange, and I believe the idea of being the first one to participate in this exchange means giving first in order to create this exchange with the universe. Mm-hmm. So generosity attitude is the one that applies to prosperity, because when you are generous in different ways, not only giving money, but also giving advice or giving care to people or giving some technical information or helping others when you can. So this is creating not only positive emotions, but it's attracting towards you much more prosperity. So I believe in the idea of the exchange, and many people are only focused on one way of the exchange. This means only on receiving. But if you have the analogy of respiration, breathing, you cannot exhale without inhaling. So you need both aspects of the respiration. So the same applies with prosperity. You have to give in order to receive, but you have to give unconditionally, not with expectation to receive. When you give with all your heart and you are generous, not only with money but also with advice, care, love, the universe responds and give you back all the gifts that it can provide you with. So this is what people are generally focused only on the aspect of receiving, and this is the wrong approach. I like the idea of the exchange because everything is an exchange. Mm-hmm. Exchange of energy, you give your contribution to the world, and the world give you back. So it cannot be otherwise. This is a very interesting approach, and it is very related to the approach that I use in the book.
Very much so. I want to remind our listeners that we are talking with Bruno Signacco. He is the author of How to Manifest Money Effortlessly, Techniques to Be More Prosperous. And I wanted to touch upon, I still want to deal with the exchange issue. From your perspective, and I know that in all of your work and your studies and the classes that you teach as well, I know that you talk about and deal with the aspect or the concept of consumer producerism, if you will, and that in the United States, it appears that as some people are referring to it as the machine, and not in a kind way, I might add, that is all we are here to do is to feed the machine, and that is to be a consumer producer. What's the difference between that? Contrast that, if you would, between that and the concept we just talked about the universal aspect of exchange.
Well, this is a very interesting question. From my perspective, I will say that consumer is only focus on wants, on desire. When you focus only exclusively on wants, underneath all these wants, there is the concept of scarcity, because you want what you don't have. So this is an approach that is a traditional approach for most people. So focusing only on consumerism or consumption is a focus on lack. If you analyze this on a deeper level, it's a focus on lack. Consumer producer means, from the economic perspective, consumer can be also a producer because it's co-creating with companies. It's trying to make the product in the best way, most adequate for the consumer. But in practice, we are talking about the same, because consumer or consumer producer is always about consumption and is based on lack. You wish, you want what you don't have. So, and generally, people, when they want something, they want any type of things, they have some anxiety, they have some eagerness. They feel some eagerness, they feel in some cases worried because it can be delayed or they cannot afford this. So this is related to negative emotions. This is generally what consumption from the traditional perspective, and we can say what most people have, is related to lack, scarcity, and related to negative emotions. And because of the law of attraction, when you experience negative emotion, you tend to manifest more negative things into your life. But the approach that we give in this text is a different one. This means try to co-create the world that you want. Doesn't mean that you will dismiss your current circumstances. You probably will have some financial problems, probably you could have some difficulties to pay your debts, but the current circumstances should be taken into account and solved in the best way, but you should give them peripheral attention, and you should co-create. I'm talking about co-creation because you create in partnership with the universe, co-creating your goals, your objectives, but without feeling anxious, without feeling over-eager, without having extreme expectation, all or nothing. So it should be something much more relaxed, much more calm, and also be open that your desire could be fulfilled in a different way, different from the ones that you have expected. So this is a very important point. And also try to avoid all type of things that are promoted by society, like working hard or trying to warn yourself out, or that generally is counterproductive, not only to your health, but to the manifestation process. So the perspective of consumption is completely different. First off, because you co-create. You don't accept the circumstances as they are, but you co-create. how you co-create. We can comment later about some techniques to co-create, for example, visualization, affirmations, among others. You are co-creating. So, and also you are faithful, means that you believe in what is about to come before it's seen. Before it's seen. So this means that you believe in advance. So you have a strong belief that you will be provided according to your desires. Second point to highlight is that you experience positive emotions. Some people will say, but how can I experience positive emotion if I have financial problems? I only experience positive emotion if I solve my financial problems. And this is also the consumption approach, I will call scarcity mindset, because you have to feel grateful, happy, at peace, serene, in advance, in order to create the condition for prosperity to come into your life. So, we are talking about the idea of exchange. You are exchanging your positive energy, you are feeling well, despite of your circumstances that could be negative ones, despite of your difficulties. You are grateful for what you have, regardless that is not what you are looking for. You are grateful because you can eat, you can sleep, you have a shelter. So grateful means generating positive emotion. And in practice, when you have a positive attitude, consistently, not only once, and not expecting, let's see, I will try to be positive to see what I can get. No. Consistently, with no high expectations, trusting the universe provision, as a consequence of this, you will be receiving undoubtedly all the gift from the universe. So it's a completely different approach. People generally are taken over by desperation or any other negative emotion, and in some cases, all the negative emotions have a base that is fear. People are very fearful of the regarding their financial circumstances, and for this reason, they tend to act in a desperate way, try to work harder, try to fix the problem. In some cases, they get worse. So the approach from that I use in this book is completely different one.
We're going to talk more about that and about your book and the things that you've experienced, as well as where you are from and all of that. We'll do that when we come back. I'm Richard Dugan. We're talking with Dr. Bruno R. Signacco. He is the author of How to Manifest Money Effortlessly, Techniques to Be More Prosperous. We certainly hope that you will stay with us, because this is an extremely important subject for these times in which we live, but it's not the only subject that we talk about as we go through our days and weeks and months and years. My goodness, 2014, we're on top of it. We're in it. We're all about it. It's all about us. And what are we going to do? Where are we going to go from here as individuals, as families, as communities, as a country, as a globe, as a global people? We'll talk more about that with our guest here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay right where you are.
Stories, I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, kind of a serious program, but very appropriate, especially considering our guest's background and education as well. Dr. Bruno Signacco is our guest, and he is the author of How to Manifest Money Effortlessly, Techniques to Be More Prosperous. I want to dive back into the issue that you started to talk about as we were wrapping up the last segment, but primarily dealing with the negative messages that we've received about money, but especially some of the subliminal messages as well. But before we do that, I want to let our listeners know that this particular book, it offers a series of strategies to attract more prosperity, which we'll talk about as well, because that may or may not have anything to do with money. But some of the techniques are visualization, meditation, affirmation, feng shui, emotional release, objective setting, playfulness, generosity, perspective, gratitude, intuition, intuitive insight, decluttering, positive thinking, chakra cleansing, and energy management. And that's just to name a few. That seems like an awful lot of work, Dr. Bruno.
Thank you very much.
But I thank you so much for joining us on the program. Let's jump back into this aspect, because there are two messages that I have heard over the years. One of them was directed primarily at people coming to the United States from other countries, immigrants specifically, especially those coming through Ellis Island back at the turn of the last century, that this is the land of opportunity. You can come to America and you can make anything happen. And many did. Many did. To this day, some of these corporations are still in business that were started by immigrants back at the turn of the last century. But now you have a counter message from our government telling us that if you make too much money, we're going to take some of it, a lot of it away from you. If you make over $1 million, you know, you've heard about this, you know,
I heard.
In spite of the fact that there are some, like I believe it's Rupert Murdoch, who says, hey, look, we wealthy, we need to be paying more. We have more to pay with, which is a wonderful gesture on his part if he's absolutely and genuinely sincere. But you have those two, from my perspective, diametrically opposed messages, and I'm sitting here generating the thought and the energy, as you have shared with us. I'm sitting here generating the thought and the energy, well, then I don't want to be a millionaire because it isn't going to be worth it, because I won't be able to keep or use that which I worked hard to earn, and so forth. So I don't know if we want to balance them or erase these two messages and start with a new message, a new paradigm, which is sort of what this program is all about, new paradigms for a new world. So please address that aspect, would you?
Okay. This is an interesting topic. I will say that many people, I believe so, that are likely not to get a mindset of prosperity because they will think that they will be ripped off by taxes, as the government, most of the government try to do so. But in practice, from my perspective, my particular perspective, I consider this is a negative connotation, because if you are worried about being ripped off by taxes, underneath all these worries, there is some mindset of scarcity. Because in practice, when you are prosperous, the focus is on positive emotion, not on worries. Worries, I comment about this in the book, but worries is the opposite to positive thinking. When you have some worries, is that you are applying faith in an opposite way. You are expecting bad things to happen in your life. So you are applying faith, but in a negative way. So I will say that people that are worried, in practice, they are generating negative energy, in most cases unwittingly. And why we are, and in some cases I can't even include myself, why we tend to worry naturally? Because the media prompt us to worry. The government, as you said very clearly, prompt us to worry. The for example, the newspaper talk about only about unemployment, crime, poverty. So they are designed to worry people. So it's not that it's something intrinsic related to us. It has to be with our inner essence. On the contrary, we are being programmed regarding this. So we have been receiving lots of social conditioning, and this means that in practice it's against our inner essence, our nature. But in practice, because we have been receiving so much programming from society, we in some cases we take this as natural. Some people will say, if I have a lot of money, I can lose it all, or if I have a lot of money, I will be subject to burglary, or if I have a lot of money, I don't know if I could manage, or if I have a lot of money, I have to pay a lot of taxes. These are still negative connotations. So because they don't contribute to prosperity. On the contrary, when you are thinking in this way, you are generating negative energy. From my perspective, the only way to generate prosperity consistently is to have positive emotion and thoughts. What is, of course, is the opposite to positive thinking, because you are dwelling on negative possible scenarios. And most of the worries are, in practice, are imagination, pure imagination. In practice, the reality is less worse than your worries. In practice, in most of the cases, if you look in hindsight, most of the worries were only pure imagination. So, but they have a powerful effect on your life, because when you worry, you draw back to you negative circumstances. Any type of worry, even complaints that appear inoffensive, comments about saying, oh, the economy is so bad, people that make these apparently inoffensive comments, this is generating negative energy. This is vibrating on a negative level, very low level, and this is drawing back to you negative circumstances. So regarding this, I will say that people, it's not only what they have to do to get prosperous, but what they have to avoid doing. So, for example, avoid commenting about negative current circumstances, avoid being fearful or too worried about future circumstances, because these simple tips contribute a lot to your prosperity. It's not only what you do, like visualization, affirmation, and meditation, and so on, but also what you have to drop, what you don't have to do at all, because this is the, if you, supposing that you do visualization every day, but then you worry about the financial situation, or because you will lose your job, or you can pay more taxes, this is counteracting. It's counteracting and canceling out the positive effect that you create with visualization and affirmation. So should be a consistent approach. Means, but I'm not blaming anyone, because society programmed us to worry a lot. And we are in a society that is tend to prompt people to worry for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And you see the newspaper, most of the news are negative ones, and even people that are very spiritual ones are still affected by this negative news. So it's not our fault. I will say that we have to be aware that there is social conditioning that is detrimental, and we don't have to go along with it.
Right.
So we have to. I'm not sure if I'm clear with this.
Yeah, very much so. As a matter of fact, I want to throw another element in there. It sounds to me like it doesn't make any difference whether you work hard for that money and you're trying to accomplish the goal, let's say, of becoming a millionaire, or you become a millionaire overnight, like by playing the lottery. And the statistics have shown consistently that most people who win huge sums of money through lotteries, and I have a feeling this is probably true in Europe as well as the United States, the people are usually back to exactly the same level of income and situation a year after they won than before they won. In other words, there was absolutely no change, and that money is now gone. And this is all tied to, as you stated, a mindset that, you know, they didn't get rid of a lot of those thoughts. My gosh, they had that incredible windfall. That prosperity just came flooding in. I'd have to say like a tsunami, and was gone just about as fast.
Yes, yes. I completely agree on this. And I will say more. People that win the lottery, in some cases, they have such a negative belief system that they keep the feeling of undeservedness. So they don't feel deserving of this abundance. Mm-hmm. So they feel in the depth of their hearts, they feel undeserving. They feel that they are not worth the money that they got. And also they couldn't change, because this was so quick, this windfall, that they couldn't change in an appropriate way their mindset to accommodate the new situation, and they keep on going with an old mindset that is the scarcity mindset. It's very common, and also they have the same negative beliefs. And of course, doesn't matter that your situation changes. If you don't shift your belief system, the sooner or later the prosperity and abundance you can get in different ways could be lost easily. Easily comes and easily goes. So it's not about effortlessness in the way that you get money from the lottery. It's effortlessness in the way that you don't have to try to fix the problems in your environment in an eager way, in a worried way, in a fearful way, but instead keeping your inner world, your thoughts, your emotions, your beliefs, in a positive way. Keep them positive so that then you, of course, you have to take action to solve some problems, you have to act, but you won't be acting from desperation, you won't be acting and at the same time being worried. So you will be, you can deal with the day in, day out activities, the challenges, but at the same time you could be creating with your positive thoughts and your positive emotions new conditions. This is very important.
Yeah.
People that won the lottery, they didn't create new conditions in their mind, and so for the reason they tend to lose. This happened here in Europe too.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I tell you, I think it's something for us to really take a look at it because, you know, I will admit, I'm sure many people have in this country. I mean, I've played the lottery a few times. I only put a couple of dollars. I'm just not interested in you know, putting 15, 20, 50, 75. I mean, people will put hundreds of dollars into the lottery so that they can win that giant jackpot. And then when they win nothing, you know, you might as well have just thrown your money in the street, in a manner of speaking. But again, that goes back to that attitude of lack that we've heard about so much over the years. I want to find out a little bit more about you, Doctor. Why does any of this matter to you? Why do you care about people's economic or prosperous or abundant states? Why not just use these techniques to I don't want to say feather your own nest per se, but you know, I mean, you could you just go about your business and just, you know, be prosperous in your own life. Rather than spending so much time and energy, which I know how much time and energy it can take, though I haven't finished my book yet, but you've written three, and you also have a PhD that I don't have. But still, I mean, you've spent so much time and energy on this subject. Would you say that in your life that you have received just compensation, or is it still coming in?
Is still coming in, and I will say more. When I write a book, or I deliver talks or seminars, I don't do this with the intention of getting money. On the contrary, what I do is to try to express myself in the best way and have a contribution to the world, contribute to the world in the best way. My approach to this, I know that sounds a bit strange for most of people, but I will say that my approach when writing or delivering a talk or a seminar, even when teaching at university, I try to give my best. I give my best like it was the last time, and like a legacy. Give the best that I can with no complaint, that I cannot blame myself of not having given my best. Even with the book, some people told me, oh, you are revealing and unveiling a lot of secrets that many people, why don't you keep them for yourself? Because it's not my idea, because this will be a scarcity mindset, because I will believe only that I can only be the one to get prosperous. But from the abundance mindset mentality, anyone can get prosperous. Anyone can fulfill their dreams. This is what society makes us think, that we cannot fulfill our dreams, or you can fulfill your dreams only at the expense of others. If you get more, others will get less. But from the metaphysical viewpoint, abundance is omnipresent, means that it's everywhere. So when I give my best, I give my best because I feel this way. And also what I saw in different books that I read, that they were not approaching the money perspective from an overarching viewpoint. So only talk about the energetic viewpoint or the thoughts or the emotion, but I try to make this as complete as possible. I try to be as exhaustive as possible, trying to cover as many positive topics on this. And this, I feel a lot of pleasure when giving to society. When giving to society is like a creation. I consider this as a creation. So my focus is not on the end result, like say, okay, I will try to this book to be a bestseller. And of course, my previous book sold very well, but it's not the main objective, because if not, I will be betraying myself. What I'm trying to do is give my best, show my best, show my experience and my knowledge and what I tested in my life, and not keeping anything for myself. So giving it all. So this is also, I commented, this is related to generosity approach. Give it all, give it exercise, giving examples, and not keeping anything in my pocket hidden. And this, I feel lots of pleasure of this. I will tell you, most of the pleasure that I get is when writing a book, more than even presenting the book in society, or more even when seeing the sales of the book that is communicated by the publisher, because I feel that I'm contributing. And this is an approach that many people could use, is not what I get, but what can I give to society? When you give your best, the universe pay you back, mm-hmm, in the most unexpected ways, beyond your wildest dreams. I will tell you, I will only comment this. This book was published this year, and luckily this was sold in the Indian market without even me expecting this, without even me trying, and it's a massive market. And if I thought about this when I was writing this book, probably I would have to make this much more commercial, and I did this in an authentic way, heartfelt way, in a way that I give my best. When you give your best, you are always rewarded. But you don't have to give your best to be rewarded. Some people will say, oh, I will try to visualize in order to... You visualize because you generate positive energy. You use affirmation because you generate positive energy. You are contributing with positive energy to the world.
Yeah.
And as a consequence of that, you will receive back from the universe, undoubtedly, at all times, the good things from the universe.
I'm not sure I am clear. Absolutely. I know that also that one of the other aspects that... a technique that I have used, and it doesn't always work, and I don't know why, because it seems to me, even from a logical standpoint, let alone a metaphysical, that it should work. And that is, I take a look at my past. And if I've been going through a phase of struggle, okay, now we could sit here and analyze why I'm struggling and all of those things, but there I am. And I'm looking at the numbers, and they're just not quite adding up quite right. One of the things that I do is I take a look at my past, and I'm going, wait a minute. You've been here before, which is unfortunate. Now you're here again, but you've been here before. And what happened? You made it through. You made it through. And maybe I've done this a number of times, and I've made it through, and I'm still alive. And I still have clothes on my back and a place to lay my head and a table to set for food and so forth. I'm still here. And it's as if, and maybe that's what's going to the aspect of, as you've talked about, gratitude for the fact that even though I've been through this little storm before, I weathered it. I made it. And so I need to start being grateful for the fact that, all right, so it was frustrating during the time. I made it through. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm still doing the work that I'm doing. A lot of people, they get stuck and they check out.
This is a very, very interesting example. I will say, I'm not sure if you are applying this. Apparently, it's a good technique that you are using. I will say that if you don't get the result that you are looking for, maybe that you are focusing too much on the past.
Yes.
The focus should be much more on the overcoming phase.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Means not much on the struggling phase. So this is, will be peripheral attention on the struggling phase, very little time, insignificant time, and lots of time evoking positive emotions when you overcame this situation.
Yeah.
Not too much in the on the struggling phase, because if you dwell on the struggling phase, you are mixing emotions. You are negative emotion from the struggling phase, and also we evoke emotions very easily. We are very, very evoking people, and it's easy for us to evoke even the emotions that are related to 10 years ago period or more. So it's easy for us to evoke negative emotion. I would say focusing very little time, insignificant time of the struggle phase, and much more on the overcoming phase, and I will say much more being present, because people tend to focus on the past a lot, on the future a lot, on the past generally feeling a guilty or blaming themselves, or for example feeling disappointed because they didn't fulfill their objectives, or they have to struggle a lot. This is past.
Yeah.
Past is past.
Yeah.
But also people tend to focus on the future a lot. Or what happened with my financial situation in the future? These are worries. And what I suggest in one of the appendices is that focus on the now. The focus on the now means being grateful, as you said, but for what I have now. Because I have good relatives, because I have friends, because I have a place to live, because I have a job. If I don't have a job, I am capable to get a job, because if I have debt, I have the ability to work this out. I have money to pay food. I have I can enjoy a coffee or a tea during the morning. Very simple thing. Doesn't have to be super relevant things. Should be a small thing, and this generate positive feelings. So being grateful is the best advice when you are feeling down, when you're not feeling so well, when you're feeling a bit moody or cross, because this is the easiest way to generate positive emotion. But when you look at the past, you will always find bad and good things. But if you focus consistently on the present moment, you are much more likely to find that there are many things that you can be thankful for, grateful for. So I like to look back at the past, but, of course, not dwelling so much on negative events that could make me evoke a negative emotion.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that I used to share with people that I would hire and train at the station I was working for, one of the things that I always shared with them, and I hadn't even thought of it really until now, the phrase was, it is the details, it is the little things that will make you or break you. And when we talk about the little things, like the list of things that I went through as far as being grateful for the here and the now, I have this and this and this and this and this family and all these things. And it is those little things, which actually are pretty big things when you think about them, but especially collectively. But it is those little things that if you focus on the right, so to speak, the right or correct little things, they can really lift you up. They can make you start feeling better about yourself and who you are. I have to say, too, Doctor, that when I was starting to just getting into the business and doing a little production jobs for different people, I didn't charge them much. And a lot of people said, well, you're undercharging yourself. I mean, this, and now the people that I was doing the work for never said that, but it was other people that I shared the fact that, oh, yeah, I'm going to be doing this project for so-and-so, and I'm only charging him $25 or whatever. And they say, you're undercharging yourself. You're really good at what you do, and you need to charge more. And this was my logic. I said, okay, let's just assume that you're right, and I'm undercharging myself. Which is better? To tell the person, no, I'm sorry, I charge $100 an hour, and they say, well, I'll have to find somebody else to do it. I get no work. Or I say, I'll charge you $25 an hour. Oh, sure, no problem. A couple of hours, no problem. And I get the work, and I get the 50. Plus, I have the experience of doing the project, and I have the opportunity of creating this relationship. From my perspective, my question would be, which would you take?
I will take what you can in at present is the right decision, I will say, because you're not only contributing. If you are doing what you love, you are generating positive emotions, and this will generate and will make you manifest much more positive things in the future. So if you are loving what you do and you also are being paid for this, you shouldn't be rejecting this. On the contrary, you should be very, very grateful for this and taking the job, doing in the best way, and you will be rewarding in other different ways, probably not directly from this person, mm-hmm. but you, if you are doing your job with all your love, your heart, the universe will reward you with no doubt, in different ways, in some cases in the most unexpected ways. But if you are not taking this because you think that is not appropriate, you are rejecting what it comes to you, and this is a gift from the universe. I'm not saying that you should be exploited by people or anything else. What I'm saying that if you have the possibility to contribute to others' lives and doing what you love, even though when it's not what you feel that you deserve for this job, you are still generating positive emotion, and you, on the contrary, you shouldn't be focusing on, oh, but this is, I could be being paid more. No, I am paying, I have been paid this, this is okay for now. You visualize that you can attract more in the future, but you do things at present in the best way, in a loving way, and this generates positive emotion and will put you in a higher place in the future.
I want to throw
many people are complaining because they will say, no, I this is not what I deserve. When you complain, you reject the gift from the universe and you are attracting negative circumstances.
I want to dovetail off of that just a little bit, because we didn't get a lot of the news, economic news from the rest of the world over the last 5 or 6 years, since our economic situation has been so dire in the United States. I mean, we heard about certain problems with Greece and Spain and some of the other EU countries, as well as other countries around the world that were suffering economically. And I'm sure that people were laid off from their jobs. But one of my thoughts, and I want to have you address this from a metaphysical standpoint, if you would. One of my thoughts, when I heard about the unemployment that was going on in 2008, 2009, even into 2010, this was just an observation, okay? And I've lost my, I had 1 year, it was actually the year 2000, where I was laid off from 4 jobs in 1 year. And twice I applied for unemployment. And by the time I got my next job, I was ineligible for even the first check. So the last 2 times that I lost my job, I didn't even bother because I knew I was going to find another job. But I wanted to ask you, from a metaphysical standpoint, those people who lost their jobs, and I'm talking this mass layoff because companies just, for what, I don't know what all the reasons were why companies had to lay off all these people. All I know is that they had to. Would your assessment from a metaphysical standpoint be that most of these people who were laid off probably didn't like their jobs anyway and just were really looking for a way out to go do something that they would enjoy doing more? Because they're now saying that there are more entrepreneurs now than there were before 2008.
I believe so. I'm not blaming anyone.
But no.
I will say that it's possible that most cases when they were laid off, there were a lot of emotional restlessness or negativity around their lives. This could be a factor contributing to that situation. I won't say that it's the only one, but could have been contributed to that situation. And of course, they have been attracted to this situation because of these negative thoughts and emotions. But also this brings about an opportunity to try different things. There, here in Europe, what is very common is lots of people self-employed. It means that they try to generate their own project, ventures, and they, when they're laid off, they try to move forward in a different way. So when they face this situation of that is a negative situation of unemployment, what my advice to these people will be, okay, what was my mindset at that moment? And how can I change? What is my current mindset now? Because probably people won't feel very well when they are laid off. But I would say, how can I change? Because people, the first step that they want to take is look for new jobs, look for adverts in the newspaper, look for hastily trying to, and in some cases in desperation, trying to look for a new job. Taking action is okay, it's very important, but what is my mindset about? I'm still negative. Do I have negative emotion? Was I complaining about the debts? Was I complaining about my boss? Was I complaining about the job conditions? Very important to analyze and writing down the negative beliefs, and also write down on a second column the positive one, replacing the negative one. So this is a self-assessment of your internal world. Many people, if not, they will keep on going on this situation for a while and indefinitely. So if they don't self-assess, they assess their internal world, they will be probably lingering in this negative situation of unemployment for a while. On the opposite side, if they assess their beliefs, their emotion, and they also discover that they have been negative, this can be changed. And things can change, but the changes start from an inside-out perspective. Some people want the changes to come from outside, and it's from the metaphysical perspective, it's the opposite way. It's from inside out. You change your thoughts, your beliefs, your emotion, and the reality accommodates according to your new beliefs, your new thoughts. This is very important. And also, some people will think about the negative aspect only. Oh, I am unemployed, I'm laid off, I cannot have any money coming in. But instead of focusing on the positive aspect, you can say, but how can this have a positive aspect? What is the opportunity hidden in this apparently negative situation? What can I do that I couldn't do when I was working for this company? How can I contribute in a way that I can be using my skills and also earning some money? So this is very important. People get taken over by desperation, and they don't allow themselves to think in a different way. And everything starts with a thought. All the great discoveries and breakthroughs in history, they start with a thought, a change in perspective. So how can I do things differently? How can I be much more creative and do what I like? Some people, generally, most of people, when they're working, they don't like their jobs. They do this only for the money, for their subsistence. And this is generating, over the years, lots of negativity, because they do this only for, okay, I want this, and they don't love what there is only a minority that loves what they do. And this is an important opportunity when they have this negative situation of unemployment. What can I do that I love and can generate some money? And how can I change my beliefs that brought me here? And I don't want to be here, I want to be in a different place. So how can I change my belief system, my emotion, and with no expectation, not high expectation, changing myself, because in the depth of my heart, I know that when I change myself, the reality changes. So this is what I will say about the people that are obviously suffering from unemployment or any negative condition, to conceive this, perceive this as an opportunity to self-assess, to assess their own world, internal world, and also prepare some draft about things that they would like to do, they would like to contribute to the world, they can be skillful at, and they also can earn some money. And many of the entrepreneurs here in Europe, they search in this way. They started being laid off, and they also began to generate ideas, partnerships, looking for information, and many big companies here in Europe have this origin. So people that change the perspective went from a negativity, negative perspective, to a positive one. Means, okay, how can I change my view on this? How can I change myself? Because if I don't change myself, we commented about the people winning the lottery. Mm-hmm. These people didn't change themselves. For this reason, they lose their money, because they didn't change themselves and they didn't become prosperous in their mind, not only in facts. So this is what is my view on this. I know that it's easy to say and sometimes it's difficult to put in practice. But very little tips is being grateful for what you have, being positive at all times, even when the situation are not the best. And the situation can never be perfect. So every situation that happens in your life is a gift, an opportunity to grow.
Absolutely.
From a metaphysical perspective.
Before,
if you don't consider this as a gift, you are pushing this away, but and attracting negativity.
Yeah.
Attracting negativity.
I just have a few more questions, but before we jump to those final questions, let me thank you for so much for taking time to share with us about yourself, your book, How to Manifest Money Effortlessly, and the concepts that we've been talking about here. Very important subject matter, especially for us here in the United States, but I'm sure also for folks who are in Europe and the UK and other parts of the world, because it isn't about whether or not it's the shekel or the whatever, the krosha or the dollar or the yen or whatever the name of the currency is, because when you use the term money, it's all about the issue of exchange. That's really, I think, what we're talking about in this context. The aspect of, and again, we just have a few minutes left here, but I wanted you to very briefly, if you could, touch upon the people that you come across. Now, obviously, this book has just come out, so it hasn't been out for very long, but you've been teaching for quite a number of years, and I'm wondering if you've had any experiences with any people who have heard what you've had to say, whether they be students or otherwise. And I also understand you're involved in the School of Intuition and Healing. I'm wondering what kinds of, not so much reactions, you've received from these people who have experienced the work that you're doing, but what kinds of life changes have been shared with you by those who have sort of taken your words to heart and started to utilize some of these concepts. Maybe they didn't use the whole list of 15 different techniques, but they used two or three of them, and they came to you and said whatever it's that they said to you, hey, it didn't work, you're a charlatan, you're crazy, you're a wacko, or, oh my God, it's unbelievable what I manifested in my life kind of thing. Can you share with us a little bit of that?
Yes. We have two differentiated groups. We have people that get disappointed because they apply the technique for a while, and they got disappointed because they didn't see the results, and they dropped the techniques. This group, I will call this group the anxious people, because they didn't give a try long enough to see the results. And on the other side, you have the people that have tried these techniques consistently, and they got not only amazing results like new jobs or new companies created from scratch, but also books published, or, for example, new houses bought. So, for example, I deliver some seminar here in London, and the comments that I have are from these two groups. There are two opposite groups, two extreme opposite groups, people that gave a try, and they gave a try, but with no faith, means they didn't believe in the techniques, but they tried because they didn't have anything to lose, and they tried for a very short time. These are people that generally they tend not to have any result. On the opposite side, you have people that have tried these techniques consistently. People tend to focus not on the 15 techniques, but tend to focus on two or three techniques, and they try to excel them as much as possible. And also, they try to analyze, most of the people try to analyze their own beliefs. I think that this is the most important thing. And comments that I have from people, the attendees of the seminars, are that they have a very noticeable changes in their life. For example, new partners, not only money, new partners attracting new partners, or, for example, business partners or love partners, or, for example, getting in contact with new information that also brings about opportunities into their lives. In some cases, what they noticed is that when they apply this technique, their awareness was much more open. Their awareness was much more open to opportunities and signals from the universe. Not only they received directly in some cases gift from the universe, but also they were much more inspired to take action. So because they found by chance, I don't believe in chances or coincidences, but they found new information or new partners, or they attended a new course, and this bring about a better situation in their life. So, but my advice is that people should give a try to these techniques for a while, not for a very short time, because if you are limiting the time that you apply this technique, you are having expectation and you are hindering the manifestation process.
Yeah,
you are structuring what you want in a way that you don't allow the universe to bring about into your life what the universe wants for you, that is limitless knowledge and limitless wisdom. Is the universe is pure wisdom and pure knowledge, so no better for you than yourself. So people in general don't give a try long enough. Mm-hmm. My advice in these two groups, what I've seen, this is the opposite ways of approaching these techniques.
Yeah.
For a while, very limited time, or consistently over time, bringing about a positive result, not only regarding money, but also partnerships, new information,
yeah,
or new ventures that could be positive for them.
Exactly. I think the best phrase for me that epitomizes that is become part of the process. Don't try to control the process. I think that's probably pretty good advice. All right. Well, let me ask you my final three questions before we go. And again, okay, I thank you so much. And again, this is from any perspective that you choose to answer this. Who is Bruno Signacco?
Yes. Well, I am a person that have been studying metaphysics for several years, and I try to convey my knowledge in a clear and precise way that could be knowledge that could be useful for other people. I think that every book that I write is a service to people. I try to give my best, and also I like and I love teaching not only economics, but also metaphysical topics. And I love a lot to create, and I am very grateful for harnessing these skills, and made me feel very exhilarated each time that I have the opportunity. Like in this talk, I have a lot of exhilaration in my heart every time that I can express my viewpoints and my perspectives on this type of topics. Mm. This is a very brief summary of who I am.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing?
Well, this is a very interesting question. What I like to achieve, I am achieving progressively, and this is a good thing, is that it could be much more widespread. What I like to achieve is that my books are sold very well, but I like to spread this knowledge as much as possible, and also receiving a lot of feedback from the readers, also from attendees from seminars, and also that challenge my vision, my perspective. So I like to interact with my readers and my the attendees of my seminars and talks, and also continually creating new work, for example, new books or seminars or courses. This is what I like to achieve, but I am in the process, so this is in progress. But I think that never ends until I have until I reach my last days in this life. I will be doing this because this is my passion, my mission, what I like. So I think that I can get better at this, and I can communicate my perspective in the best way whenever possible.
And normally I ask my guest, how powerful are we as human beings? And you're certainly free to answer that question, but I'm curious as to your perspective on our future global economy or exchange system, shall we call it?
Well, I think that people have a different perspective on the economy nowadays. There are a lot of causes, social causes, and perspective that are changing as compared with the past. People are getting much more aware of ecological changes, people much more aware of helping other people, charity, and so on. I think that the economy is shifting, the world economy is shifting slowly, but it's shifting to a positive new perspective. Means that people are getting much more support. Despite all the negative situation that we know that there still exists in the world, the humanity is changing towards a new perspective. Means that people are much more aware that they cannot get away when they take advantage of others, or they try to do something at the expense of others, because this will be backfiring then. So I think that people are getting much more aware and also much more engaged in spiritual activities, and not only focus on material world, but much more focus on the inner world, the things that are beyond the physical senses. And this is creating a positive shift, because gradually, of course, this won't change overnight, but gradually this will be affecting not only the... For example, you see some example of this with crowdfunding. People that are contributing to others' projects in a very unconditional way. Means they're trying to gather funds for project that could be a contribution. Well, these are signs, or a random act of kindness that people can perform over time. A lot of charities and non-governmental organizations. These are signals, signs that the humanity is changing. Also, there is a lot of spiritual movement, not necessarily religious, can be related to religious aspect or not, but people are getting much more spiritual, practicing a spiritual discipline like meditation, yoga, and also I feel that the perspective on regarding the future is a very positive one. Of course, there will be always factors that are trying to counteract all this positive perspective, but I think that positivity will succeed. This is my personal guess and my hope, and I think that we are led towards this direction. I think that we are going in this direction. We are much more spiritual, spiritually focused, and also much more humane. I will say, I see, as compared with other epochs, other periods of in history, is there is much more people that are engaged in humaneness. Doesn't mean that there are not negative factors like wars or crime and all other factors that we all know. But I feel that most people are taking the luminous path, and they're treading the path that is the authentic one.
Absolutely.
That is beyond the social conditioning.
Couldn't agree with you more. How do people get a hold of you and your book? What is your website?
The website, yes. I will give you my email. The email is in the first page of the book. It's
yes.
bcignacco@yahoo.com is my surname. The book can be bought in any bookshop. And my website is very simple. It's www.brunosignacco.com.
Wonderful. How to Manifest Money Effortlessly, Techniques to Be More Prosperous. My guest has been Dr. Bruno R. Signacco. And again, we hope that you will pick up a copy of his book and check out all of the different techniques as well as the information available here. And maybe the next time we have you on, we will talk more about this institute, this School of Intuition and Healing, because that is also, to me, a very fascinating subject as well. Thank you again so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
I'm Richard Dugan. You've been listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love, Talal.